This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacoda and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voice. In this episode, we speak with Mary Motherway from Ladysbridge. Mary recalls being very contented on the farm and putting skills she was taught in school to practical use.
I went to school in Ladysbridge in 1934, and I can clearly remember my first day at school.
Tell us a little bit about it.
In those days, we lived a simple life, so I think that any new experience did stay in our minds. And on the first day to school, my father took me down the horse and trap. I was very honoured that day. I had to walk to school afterwards, but he took me to O'Neill's pub in Ladysbridge, where I could claim kinship there, and the O'Neill girls took me up to school. There was a forge that we passed on our way to school, and of course we always stopped for a little glance at the big fire. There was a mill where farmers came from quite a wide area to the mill on one particular day, and there were, I think, 9 shops at one time.
Was there many classrooms in that school?
There was a boys' school and a girls' and 2 classrooms in each school. I enjoyed school very much. When we went to school, we all had our knitting, our sewing bag. And we had to knit a little square of knitting. We had to cut a little hole out of that and learn how to darn it. We were taught how to darn, how to patch clothes, and how to a patterned dress. You were taught how to match the pattern to the dress so that the patch wouldn't be so obvious. And you were taught to darn, and even we were taught how to make buttonholes. The teachers knew that it was necessary in those days, and that it was going to be part of our working life hereafter. People didn't throw away their clothes then, as they do now. People darned stockings, and usually in the evening, around the fire at night, the women were doing little bits of needlework and darning the stockings and knitting. People did knit stockings.
I asked Mary if she had great ambitions as a young woman, and she speaks about the fact that there were not many opportunities for young women in rural Ireland in the 1940s and 1950s, and they were expected to help at home.
No, not particularly, because in those days, you see, all that is open to young women now wasn't open then. And I lived on a farm, therefore I, as the only girl, would be expected to stay home and help my mother after school. I left school at 14. They took a different direction, because at that time, you see, it was possible for them to go to school, to secondary school. And that was the big change, you see, when my generation didn't have that opportunity. Very few girls that I knew in school went on to secondary education. But of course, our children, all of them had that opportunity. And that's what opened up the world of opportunity, particularly to the girls.
The advent of electricity in the 1950s changed the lives of women in the area forever. Mary recalls this amazing transformation and speaks about butter making and refrigeration when she was younger.
Baking on the open fire in the bathroom, and cooking always on the open fire before electricity came. It had a marvelous impact on our lives, because before we had the benefits of electricity, everything had to be done by hand, you see. Even we made butter. We had to make the butter by hand in a butter churn, and everything had to be done by hand. But with electricity, life was eased. It was really a great advantage. I think it was the single biggest advantage to people in the rural areas. As far as possible, because we butchered the pig every year and we salted it down, so that people just bought what they weren't able to produce themselves. You prepare food freshly every day. And now my mother was an excellent butter maker, and she made butter for the winter. She cropped butter for the winter. And she actually used large white enamel buckets, I remember. And she would fill maybe about 3 of those buckets of butter for the winter. And with regard to refrigeration, we had rooms in the house that were, because of there being only the one big fire in the kitchen, that were very cold, and there was no problem about keeping the butter over the winter, because you could put it in a particular room, and that room would be very, very cold. Mary shares her memories of the village of Ladiesbridge, a very different place now to what it was before. She remembers it was a hive of activity with many different buildings and industries. The villages were a hive of activity. And another thing, that everybody knew everybody else. And there was no place in the village that you could knock on the door and find a welcome. I remember going to the village for my shopping. And it was, as well as a shopping trip, it was a social occasion, because you could call into every shop and every house, and it wasn't just a question of getting your shopping and going out the door. There was a chat and laughter and, an interchange of news.
When she was a young woman growing up, she speaks about the different forms of entertainment available. She has particularly fond memories about the local dramatic society.
In those days, the one entertainment that we look forward to, most villages had their own dramatic society. And they were very, very popular. And through the winter months, they would be getting ready their concerts. And because during Lent, the bishops of Cloyne, particularly, the bishop of Cloyne forbade any dancing, when Lent came, we were treated to concerts. And they would have a play, and they would have, somebody singing or playing in between the acts, and they were very enjoyable.
And did you ever go on the stage yourself?
Once, I think I remember going on the stage once myself, but I was really very shy. Well, I didn't have the courage for it.
Mary is very honest in her views concerning women in rural Ireland in the 1950s when she was a young woman. She recalls her love of reading and how this transported her to places she could only dream of visiting. Even today, the mobile libraries deliver a library service to rural communities that do not have access to branch library services. The mobile library brings the service to the heart of the rural community. It is a service that places a high priority on answering the needs of the individual citizen in the rural community.
Well, at that time, of course, it wasn't possible for somebody in my position with a large family to go out and to meet friends. But I notice now, what did keep me focused and in touch with things is my love of reading. I like reading about historical events, and I like reading autobiographies and accounts of famous people's lives. I find it very, very interesting to read about how things evolved in times past, and it was and is and continues to be a really great interest to me.
And where did you first get this love of reading?
In my very early years now, in the 1930s, I remember in our home when I was very young, there was The Messenger of the Sacred Heart, The Far East, and the Cork Weekly Examiner. Those three publications came into the house, and I devoured them. I absolutely devoured them. And when I managed to join libraries and to find books wherever I found them, I literally loved reading.
So this time that you could read, you had a large family, was this sort of a little time for yourself?
It was. That was the time for myself.
And did you pass on your love of reading to your children?
I did, yes. And I noticed my grandchildren are developing it too. I've often said it. You are never lonely if you have a book.
Where was the nearest library?
Well, there was a library in Ladysbridge, but in the early days, and I don't remember being part of that. I was too young to join, I think. But then when my children were starting school, the mobile library came our way. And I can't say enough good about the mobile library, because they go into rural areas, really, and they bring the joy of books to so many. It was a great advantage. You see, they came, we knew the date of their coming, and we'd be down with our basket of books and ready to bring home another basket of treasures.
And I thought it opened up new worlds as well for
Indeed
you.
It did.
We would like to thank Mary Motherway for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing her memories and stories from her life. Older Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladysbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio YAWL production.